On this week's show of From the Cheap Seats, we take a look into the women's golf preview, as well as giving our opinions and the happenings of everything that happened last week in small sports. From the Cheap Seats is only heard on KRUI.
It's now time for the most innovative hour in sports talk radio. The following commentary is not the opinion of KRUI nor its sponsors and affiliates. From the Cheap Seats is heard exclusively here on 89.7 FM KRUI. Now here are your hosts, Ryan Wallace and Will Marchino.
All right, here we go. September 6th, 2007, alongside my co-host Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchino, and we are here ready to go. As promised, we have some new things on the show.
I believe we've worked out all the technical kinks that have bugged us for the past semester and a half, at least, as far as the podcast goes. So yeah. I think we know exactly what we need to do for that now. So no worries about that. Once again, if you would like to subscribe to the podcast, check out our website, KRUICheapseats.blogspot.com. There's instructions on there. If you can't figure it out, you can most certainly email us. Our email address is fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. You can certainly email us with any questions about the podcast, any questions you have about Iowa small sports, or your opinion on Iowa small sports, or for that matter, small sports. You know what? Do we not discuss we're going to call them overlooked sports?
Yes, overlooked sports. I was going to say something, but you covered that.
Regardless, overlooked sports throughout the Big Ten, because that's what we're all about.
Or your comments on the show.
That's right.
If you think that we need to improve anything, let us know.
Please do.
Yep.
So open for some constructive criticism. Or if you just want to hate on us, we're open to that too.
Yeah, preferably hating on us on Yahoo Messenger or AIM or MSN Messenger, because we have accounts on all three.
Yeah.
And on AIM, it's KRUI Sports. At Yahoo, it's KRUI Cheap Seats, all one word for Yahoo, KRUI Cheap Seats. And at MSN, it's fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. All one word, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com.
Yeah, we can move on because probably there's nobody going to email us now.
If they wanted to hate on us.
Yeah, I doubt it. All right, let's do the first big announcement of the day. We kicked last week's show off with the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, and the podcast didn't hear that.
No, they didn't, yes. But we're going to kick it off again today with the Big Ten Network, as the Dish Network has announced today that they will be carrying the Big Ten Network.
And you start to get real upset with MediaCom, don't you?
Yeah, the frustration continues to build. Subscribers to Dish Network, America's top 100 and above, will receive it at least for an initial period, and then I think they're going to figure out what they're going to do. I believe that's also what we need to be doing with MediaCom. Let's just get it out there.
Yeah.
Why don't you be the Good Samaritan, show people that you care about them? Why not even put it on basic cable for 6 months? See what the response is. Then if you want to bump it to the sports tier or what have you in the latter months, then do that. But I think it's an opportunity to regain some popularity with the community.
Once MediaCom realizes they're losing a lot of people, not only in the Iowa City area, but in the whole entire state, really, who want to watch the Big Ten Network, I really think that the diehard Hawk fans are going to go out and get Dish Network. I really think that.
I agree. And to be honest, you can probably count me on that list. Will has not heard this from me yet, but I think I'm on a countdown. I don't know what the time period is. But
I'll give you a countdown. 30 days. Because
I think I was going to go 60. I say we go 60 days. If in 60 days there is no movement, we hear nothing, then definitively we can go to either Dish Network or DirecTV. We'll figure that out when that time comes. But
Ryan and
it's
I
time
live
to
together
drop
now,
MediaCom.
So
yeah,
this is a joint decision.
That's right.
It's not just me trying to persuade him on his own bill.
Right.
It's now both of us collectively paying the cable bill / internet bill, and we're not happy.
No, we're not happy. Now, we are getting a good price with MediaCom.
Yeah, okay.
We can't deny that. Yes. However, we're not completely unsatisfied with what we're getting at this point. There needs to be some kind of announcement. They need to make some kind of headway on this.
I'm going to look at Dish Network when I get home tonight. I'm going to check that out because I don't have class tomorrow. I'm going to check that out.
All day. investigations.
Yeah.
And another big reason I would love to switch to DirecTV, they're going to be rolling out
Dish Network is signed.
I know, but I'm saying DirecTV, the reason I would switch from Mediacom to DirecTV, who okay. also has Big Ten Network, they're going to be rolling out one of the biggest HD programming
in the industry. I saw the commercial for that, like 120 channels or something like
that. Yeah, ridiculous. And for those of you who don't
know, I like
to
watch Wales in HD.
That's
it's
right.
real fun.
Will and I now have an HD TV, and if you don't
big,
have one,
it's real clear, it's real bright, and it's real fun to watch.
That's right. You should be real jealous of us.
Especially when the Cubs lose 7-4. All right, starting things off.
Okay, I guess we can get into the week that was.
Well, first,
from small sports.
Here's another. Here's another update. We're not gonna get full-fledged into it.
No, let's get to that. Let's start off with a little bit of men's golf
okay.
that will pertain to your announcement.
Okay.
The men's golf team was in action for the fall 2007 season as they participated in the Big Four Championships at Elm Crest Country Club in Cedar Rapids,
yes.
Iowa on Tuesday.
Elm Crest.
And have you played it?
I have not. I was in the process of working there, but decided against it.
Okay. The Hawkeyes finished in second place. I believe last year they finished in third, but they did finish with a score of 563. That's a 36-hole total for the team. That's three over. Iowa State won the event with a score of 550. That's 10 under. And with
wow.
that, they now take a 2-0 lead in the Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series. We'll get to that in just a second.
Yep.
Let me wrap up this golf story. So, as you can see, Iowa State kind of ran away with it. Drake finished with a team score of 564 for third place. Northern Iowa, 568 for fourth. So, as you can see, Iowa State running away with it, leaving the other three schools to fight for second. And Iowa came on,
top there. I have some complaints here, and it has nothing to do with the Hawkeye golf team.
Okay.
This is a fun event. Obviously, it counts towards the Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series and the Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk trophy.
That's right. I agree with that. I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I like that. But every other tournament we play in is either two or four rounds. This is a one-day event.
Agreed.
I think
It was a two-day event. Two-day event. 36 holes. Two-day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a two-day
day
event.
Two-day, or do you play 36 in a day?
You could play 36 in a day.
Because I believe the schedule was all day long. They played 36 holes.
Okay, but they do have a opening and a closing rounds. So they do have two different rounds. Regardless.
I would like to see expansion.
I agree. I would love to see this event move to a weekend date.
Right.
That way we could play Friday, Saturday.
Or
maybe
possibly spread it from Thursday to Sunday. You play a round each day.
Let's say at the PGA Tour,
This is the Big Four. Dude.
No. They ain't never going to do that.
This is the Big Four.
Maybe you do 36 holes on Saturday and
okay, 18 on Thursday and Friday, then, a piece.
No. You do three rounds, 36 holes on Saturday and 18 on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I think that'd be fantastic.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
No, just Saturday, Sunday. You do two rounds on Saturday, and you finish it up on Sunday. Regardless, I would love to. I agree. It should be expanded. Let's move it to a weekend so we can popularize this event. And I'd like to see something like this in every sport, if at all possible. Where it's possible, I'd like to see
this. Then that was a lot of the topic last year with the basketball thing.
Right.
Possibly being at Wells Fargo Arena.
We'll get to that, because I'd still love to see that.
Right.
I'd love to see it for women's.
All four schools down there, men and women's both, playing in a round-robin tournament and crowning the state champion, much like the coveted tournament that Pennsylvania has with their Big Four schools or Big Six. I forget what it's called. They have their own website. About the just
and
the
they
basketball
play in
tournament.
Philadelphia.
They do not play in the Wachovia Center. They play in at Penn.
Oh, okay.
So it's a nice condensed arena in an Ivy League school. It becomes real interesting because then it almost has this high school state tournament atmosphere with all these different teams in there at the same time.
The biggest issue is you and I both. Well, no, it is money. Who gets to host this event? Who gets the majority
Drake.
Of the proceeds, etc.? I agree. I think it should be Drake, the smallest of all the schools, but I do agree it should be held at Wells Fargo Arena. They're the host school, but it's not at their grounds. Regardless, let's wrap up this golf story.
Okay.
I would also like to, maybe later in the show, we could talk about a Big Four event for volleyball. But we'll get to that later. Yes. Dan Holterhaus, the Iowa senior, led Iowa, sixth place finish. He had two round total of 140 for even par. Cole Peavler, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you out right now.
Okay. Here we go.
My boy shot 66 here.
Cole, first round total is 66.
66 okay. In the first round. Way out in front of everybody. Then he turns around and apparently he wasn't focusing on the second
86?
Round. He shot an 80.
Okay.
For a two-round total of 146, tied for 18th place. Or for 18th place, probably all by himself. Regardless, Iowa State's Chris Baker did capture the first place overall score. He shot a 71 first round. Then he comes out second round and shot a 64. That's going to help your team out and probably one of the biggest reasons why Iowa State won that. So let's look here what's next for the Iowa men's program. They're going to be participating September 30th through October 2nd at the Fighting Irish Golf Classic in South Bend, Indiana.
Okay. So with that being said, men's golf gets second place in the Big Four tournament,
but all that's important
loses to Iowa
exactly.
State. So all that's really important is this Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series standings, which Iowa State now has a 2-0 lead in. Volleyball looking to tie up the series this weekend in Des Moines they go to the Drake tournament, and soccer on the 9th looking to take us Sunday into the lead.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Of the Cy-Hawk series. So it'll be interesting here this weekend. 4 points could be swung either way, and Iowa State could jump out to a huge lead.
Or Iowa could
come and get 4 swing points and jump into a 2-point lead.
I agree. And for those of you who can't find the standings online, you can we'll have a link on our website, KRUICheapseats.blogspot.com, and we'll get you to that.
And the website has now been updated as far as the new standings and the new schedule on the website. So check that out either via that direct link to the website or go to our website and check it out via the hyperlink.
That's right. And just a note, Iowa winning that event last year 13-9.
Yes.
Iowa State taking the year before that by a pretty heavy margin.
13-8.
13-8 last year. Iowa State winning by a margin 13-6. And Iowa winning the inaugural 11-8 in the first year. So Iowa looking to capture its third title in the Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series this season.
And this weekend actually makes it a 6-point swing if you look at it, because there's not an event again until November after football on the 15th. So,
real important.
That's the only time we really talk about football is the Cy-Hawk series. Then we'll mention the score of the game and what the updated series is, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's all you hear about football on this show. That's right.
Yep.
All right, so let's segue nicely then into women's golf.
Our women's golf preview.
Preview, a little preview. They're going to be heading to the Mary Fossum Invitational this Saturday and Sunday. That is hosted by Michigan State up in East Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
They're going to be competing against 9 other institutions. Ferris State, Grand Valley State, Illinois, Indiana, Kent State, Michigan, Michigan State, Missouri, and Toledo.
Interesting.
Par for the course up there is 72, and for those of you who are keeping score at home, the total yardage is 6,237.
Rather short course, but that's probably the yardage from the women's team.
Exactly, exactly. The last year that the Hawkeyes participated in the Mary Fossum Invitational was 2005, and they finished 12th out of 15 teams.
Okay.
Looking ahead this year, head coach Kelly Crawford's returning 5 letter winners.
Nice.
And also adds 4 freshmen. We're going to get a nice balance. The seniors Jill Markham and Melanie Boyles are going to try and provide the leadership. And an interesting freshman duo, 2 of those 4 freshmen, Laura, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Seilick and Amanda Stahl, they finished 1-2 in Iowa's high school tournament last spring.
Class 4A?
I'm not sure. It doesn't list the class.
Linmar and Iowa City West.
I don't think there are 4 classes in golf. There may
Maybe
only
3.
Be. No, I don't think there's 2.
Okay, well.
Regardless, they were 1-2 in the state tournament.
Yeah.
So, as I said, the women's golf team heading to East Lansing, Michigan, Saturday and Sunday to try and get their season kicked off on the right foot. hopefully with a win. If not with a win, hopefully we're going to see some strong individual performances. And the biggest thing, at least from my perspective, is consistency. I'll go back to the men's golf team. Cole Peevler, what a great opening round. You got to shoot mid-70s after a 66. You can't jump all the way up to the 80s. So I'd like to see some consistency out of these women as they go to the Mary Fossum Invitational. Do we have an outlook of their total season? Do we want to give them a rundown of the schedule?
Their total season includes trips to, obviously, State College and Hawaii, also Mexico, South Carolina, Florida, and New Mexico, as well as Texas in there. I'm just laying out the trips. The schedule will just take forever to announce. The first time the Hawkeyes are at home will be for the Hawkeye Invitational on October 6th. So
right.
They are not at home for another month
now, yeah.
So,
and is that the
only competing in two tournaments before the Hawkeye Invitational?
Right. How many home matches do we have? Just the one? Just the one. All year, including spring.
Yeah.
All right. So the ladies will be doing a lot of traveling this season, and look out for those two fabulous freshmen.
I would like to say this much, too. The Hawkeye men do not host a home match.
At all? I guess they had the one up in Cedar Rapids.
Big Four, that's it.
That's as close. That's
no
the only
Hawkeye invite.
That's the only Iowa tournament. All right. All right.
Mark Hankins says no Hawkeye invite.
Not this year. He's like, we're going to go do a traveling because we like to do that. That's the one bonus for the golfers is they get to travel to lots of warm weather places, and Will and I are clearly jealous. All right, what are we moving on to next?
Little cross country action here.
Little cross country. The runners got out. It's been some nice weather for running, a little hot the last couple days.
Kind of humid, yes. Yeah. But nonetheless, in Macon, Illinois, the men and women both started their schedule. In the Western Illinois University Early Bird Invitational, a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a long name.
Yes.
Can you fit that on a t-shirt?
I don't think so. That or it's got to be curved from armpit to armpit.
Or tiny, tiny letters.
Right. Nonetheless, my boy Jesse DeLuch Luciano.
Yeah.
Won the event, the men's race, with a time of 25:26. And Western Illinois' Beth Whalen won the women's race with a time of 22:49. So,
did the men not run exclusively underclassmen? I thought I looked at that and saw a lot of freshmen and sophomores.
Yes, they did.
Jesse Luciano is a sophomore. Yes.
Tommy Tate, a redshirt freshman, finished third. Mark Batista of Iowa finished fourth. Andy Napier finished fifth. Bruce McTaggart, sixth.
And across the board, all those names are either freshmen or sophomores, redshirt.
Brendan Camplin, ninth for the Hawkeyes. Jay Renaud, 14th. Bob Ingram, 15th. So,
and we did not see for the cross country ladies
Touted women.
Right, the highly touted women were not in action.
No, they were not. Megan Armstrong and Diana Curry not available. And
just taking it easy.
Christina Katarba finished 16th for the Hawks.
That's the top finisher?
Top finisher for the Hawks.
All right. With
a time of 25:01.
Where are the men and women off to next?
The next meet, actually, for both, I believe, is the Hawkeye Invitational September 15th in Iowa City. The women will, of course, run a 3,000 meter and the men a 6,000. So
next weekend.
Yes.
Next weekend, back in action, and I would assume that you're going to see the big guns come out, the upperclassmen from the men, and of course the two super seniors.
At the Hawkeye Invitational.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Super seniors, not in fifth year, but in nature of excellence.
Yeah, yes. Super, super fantastic. All right, now I think it's time.
This is a fantastic story, I think, right here. We're going to go ahead and do this. Oh my goodness.
An up and down season last year, real roller coaster. Then they went on a roll late last season, and clearly, I'm gonna segue this with I really like the DI's power rankings.
The Daily Iowa, the local newspaper.
That's right. They started yesterday, or the day before, sports power rankings. All sports that are
and you don't find football number one. You find
field hockey. The ladies,
thank you,
of field hockey.
How can you not make them number one?
That's right. Over this past weekend. They took on number 4 Duke as they were ranked number 10 going into the game, and they won 2-0 Alyssa Munley recorded her second shutout of the season. That's the fifth of her career. And the juniors, definitely, these two ladies are going to be the leaders on this team, Lindsay Duffy and Lauren Pfeiffer, especially Lauren Pfeiffer. I think she's going to break some records this year as far as scoring is concerned.
Just a junior.
Yes. And Iowa improved their record to 2-1 with a 2-0 win. They split the goals, one in each half. Very intense game, though. In a two-minute stint, Alyssa Munley saved three shots. So that's, a lot of stuff coming real quick. She finished the game with seven saves, six of which came in the first half. Important to note that Duke did out-corner Iowa 12-8, and they did out-shoot us 16-12, but important to note that of those 16 shots, only seven were on goal. The rest of them went awry. So Iowa working hard, got a very diligent win, I would say, continuing progress forward. They then moved on and took on William & Mary.
Right.
And as I said last week, William & Mary is ranked in some of the ranking systems. Not the two big ones, but they were ranked by some services.
Right.
So this is a good program, William & Mary is. And Iowa defeats them 1-0 to improve their record to 3-1. They took them on Labor Day, Monday. And once again, Alyssa Munley with the shutout.
Her third of the season.
Yep. That's right. Second in as many days. And what a boost. What a day she had. Earlier that day, for her efforts against Duke, she was named the Big Ten Player of the Week. So she gets named
player. Well, two shutouts against two top five
teams.
She
was named Big Ten Player of the Week, and then she goes out.
No, I know. But she shut out Wake Forest.
Correct, yes.
And only gave up five goals, I guess, to North Carolina, but then shut out Duke, so.
Right. So in every win thus far, she's gotten a shutout for Iowa. The goal, once again, was scored by Lindsay Duffy, and it was actually kind of a rebound situation. The junior, Lauren Pfeiffer, those are really the two names you're going to hear on all scoring plays. She took the initial shot, was denied by the defense, and on the rebound, Lindsay Duffy put it back in.
Right.
So some interesting stats here. It was really all Iowa in this one.
Well,
Iowa outshot William & Mary 18-3, out-cornered William & Mary 11-1. And with those shots on goal, Gwen Hunter for William & Mary had 10 saves, but she let that one sneak by, and that was the important one. Alyssa Munley only needed one save in this game to get the win. Regardless, Iowa wins, improves their record to 3-1,
yep.
And on September 4th, the new rankings for STX National Federation of... the National Field Hockey Coaches Association,
yep.
That's what it is. Division 1 poll came out on September 4th, and Iowa is number 4. They jumped from 10-4 as they jump. As well, we're seeing four other Big Ten teams in the top 25. You got Penn State at 6, Michigan State at 7, Michigan at 15, Indiana at 19. That's in the top 20, excuse me. And you also see Ohio State and Northwestern receiving votes. So very heavy with the Big Ten prowess
right.
in the top 20 right now. So Big Ten leading the way. Look for real good things from this field hockey squad.
This is
very
a
difficult schedule. We talk about these are four of the best programs in the nation, and we just went 3-1.
Right. Well, this is also a team who's taking on Louisville tomorrow at Pearl Field.
Grant Field,
excuse me. And
unless all of a sudden they switch and they're playing softball.
No.
Okay, we're still at Grant Field then.
But Louisville is the team that the Hawks knocked out last year.
That's right.
In the first round of the tournament. And there's got to be some sort of animosity there with Louisville.
I'm sure there is.
Going into the game, taking on the Hawks, especially at their home field, Iowa's home field. They're coming here looking for some revenge or some sort of revenge, something to lay the feather in their cap. They're ranked as well.
Number 16, they're 2-2 thus far, at least as of September 4th, they were ranked 2-2. So I'm not sure who their wins came against, but they're still ranked. So you're going down the line, and you're seeing some quality programs that the field hockey team is going to run into. A quick side note is that this Hawkeye field hockey team will be aired on the Big Ten Network at noon on October 4th when they travel to Ohio State. And then they will also appear the following weekend at 3 p.m. When they host Penn State. So two appearances on the Big Ten Network live and in action.
The 14th and the 20th.
That's right.
And if you do have MediaCom, as of right now, you're not going to be able to see those.
You never know. Maybe they're going to pull something out of their hats. For those of you who don't know, this is a side note. They will be simulcasting the football game on the MediaCom Connections channel.
Too bad MediaCom Connections isn't in HD because the Big Ten Network is.
Yes.
And you can watch the game.
Well, we could talk about this for hours, so let's try and divert the issue. So as Will said, tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m., the Hawkeyes will take on Louisville at Grant Field. So you should definitely get out there. Will and I will be out there.
Fantastic team here. A lot of youngsters. And the, what was it, six or seven people she signed?
Five.
Okay, five for this year. So five newcomers mixed amongst the returners from a Big Ten championship team. And you've got to be excited about what's going on right now because North Carolina's ranked, what, second in the country? And that's the only loss the Hawks have. And a 5-2 loss, and they were down by five at half and came back and scored two goals in the second half to make it a three-point loss, a three-goal loss. Nonetheless, a team that is 3-1, entering their first home game of the year, then taking on Missouri State on Sunday. So,
yeah, you definitely need to get out there. Will and I will definitely be making appearances. Speaking of that, from the Cheap Seats Events is back. Will and I will be going toe-to-toe this year.
Hopefully we'll get a PDF file up.
Yep, we're going to do that next week. I had promised that for this week. There really was no update.
Ran into some things.
There were no games for us between last week and this week for us to go to, so there's no reason for us to update that. But we'll get a link to a PDF on the website of all the events that we're going to be going to. We'll be keeping track. We have our own little point system, basically 1 point for each event. Other than men's basketball, we only give a half point to men's basketball.
Yep. Which so, I'm going to win that outright.
I don't know. For those of you who don't know, I was well out in front as we entered about the middle of the spring semester last year. And then I ran into some other issues academically.
Just say that I sprung forward? Because that's what happens.
Okay, fine. I had other commitments academically.
Ryan is making excuses right now.
Excuses,
dude.
I built a bridge. I don't think that's an excuse.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's not a crutch. Regardless. Regardless.
You're using
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No, well out in front, and you did indeed come back and beat me by a fair margin. I would not be surprised if the same thing happens again this year, given all the crazy commitments that I have, and your one big commitment is the radio station. So I think that'll be interesting. I'm gonna try and make it up with you, but... the best thing about this is it kind of spurs commitment from people. Will and I now really want to get out to these games because we want to make it to more games than the other person. So I think if for those of you out there listening, participate in this. If you want to get in on this, definitely email us at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. If you want to participate in this and try and go toe-to-toe with me and Will and see if you can get to more events than us, we're welcoming all challengers at this point.
Except people who run the facilities.
Yeah, if you're with the sports management team with the University of Iowa Department of Athletics.
That's a disclaimer.
Yeah, you're disqualified. If you're Dice Richardson.
If you are Fuzzy Dice Richardson. If you are Dace Richardson.
That's right. You are also disqualified. He would probably trounce us given that we see him everywhere. Every event he is at, women's basketball, field hockey, women's soccer, he goes to it all, but he is disqualified due to his ties to the Department of Athletics. So if you are not part of those groups, then you should definitely participate in our little From the Cheap Seats events challenge. All right.
Moving along to a team that jumped out to an 11-1 school best record start last year. Not going to talk about the second half of the season. Started the new season with a 3-2 loss to BYU.
Then disappointing.
Yep, then picked up a victory against Marquette the day later. Traveled to Greeley, Colorado to participate in the Northern Colorado tournament this past weekend. And the Hawks came to play, taking match number one against UC Riverside on August 31st. 3-1. an uncharacteristic 3-1 win for the Hawks as they lost the first game 30-26. Picked up victories against UC Riverside 30-20, 30-28, and 30-24. Nothing better to say than the freshman Amy Huffman really kind of getting her feet wet Friday with 12 kills and Megan Shipper with 16 to lead the Hawkeyes in that 3-1 victory. Moving along to September 1st, the Hawks took on St. Francis and beat them 3 straight games, 30-16, 30-24, 30-24. Excuse me. Led by Amy Huffman with 12 kills and Laura Kramer with 14. You like to see this from the Hawks as they get up early and they get up often and they got the killer instinct after the break. They come out and they take care of business. They handle business. And that's what you like to see. And because they had to play 4 games against UC Riverside, they handled business after the break as well against UC Riverside. So that's also nice to see the Hawk team hopefully maybe turning a stone here. With this tournament, they can carry some
momentum.
Yeah, momentum into the rest of the season as then they take on Northern Colorado and defeat them in 4 games after losing the first game. So, real concentration, high level of concentration here this weekend from the Hawks, which is nice to see because it hasn't been there as of recently, dating almost last year, and then especially against BYU, it wasn't there on a concentration level, I think.
I think it's a consistency level, especially when we talk about that BYU match. They were obviously concentrating in those first 2 games, and then there was a lack of concentration in the last 3 against BYU. So it's definitely a consistency kind of thing here.
Right, and the Hawks beat Northern Colorado after they lose the first game 30-28. They win 30-24, 30-24, 30-21. Laura Kramer, Becky Walters, and Megan Shipper each with 13 kills, and Megan Eskew, a freshman, with 15. So freshman playing a big role here, as it's nice to see the roles that freshmen are being thrusted into, and this weekend they came up big for the Hawks. So
that's right. three solid wins.
Yes.
Obviously,
nothing really to get too excited about.
Yeah. Nothing to hang your hat on here. These aren't the greatest programs in the country.
Tournament affair nonetheless.
Right.
So you like to see that.
That's right. So Iowa gets 3 wins. They now move to 4-1 on the season.
Yep.
As they look forward, as we said, Iowa State coming up soon for them. Who do they have next? Is Iowa State next on the list, or do they play Drake first?
Drake. At the Drake tournament, at the Drake Classic, this weekend they play Drake and then turn around on the 8th and play Iowa State and LSU. LSU, a team which is kind of out of the ordinary to travel all the way up to Des Moines for a tournament, but it'll be interesting to see how they play against an SEC volleyball school on Saturday. So,
3 more big games. These are definitely huge. Iowa State is a powerhouse. Are they ranked?
No, they are not.
Okay. Well, Iowa State got to the 2nd round of the NCAAs last year. So it's a quality program. I'm not sure. I haven't taken a look at their roster to see who they have returning or not returning and what they look like this year. But they are a quality program and have been for some time. So, I mean, this isn't a cakewalk, especially with Iowa State. I'm not sure where LSU stands. And
they're ranked 21st in this week's poll.
LSU is. So yes. That's going to be a big match. So you have at least 2 big ones. Drake should be a win for Iowa.
Drake was competitive at Carver Hawkeye last year.
They were.
Against the Hawks. So a team that kind of matches up with Iowa well. So it'll
be
3 big games this weekend, and we'll see if this we can keep the high consistent level and high concentration level up for these games and see if the competitiveness continues as well for the Hawks as they travel to Des Moines. A quick look at the rankings as of September 3rd in the volleyball spectrum. Nebraska number one in the poll with a record of 4-0. Last week they were number one, receiving 56 first place votes. Stanford received 4 first place votes at a record of 4-0 as well. They were ranked number two last week. The top five haven't changed. Penn State number three, USC number four, UCLA number five. The next time you see a Big Ten team is number 10 in Wisconsin. They're 5-1, and last week they were ranked number 10 as well. Minnesota ranked 12th after dropping to 2-2. They last week were ranked 9th in the country. Michigan ranked 14th. Impressive start for the Wolverines, 6-0 on the year. Last week they were ranked 20th in the country. And Ohio State, who was ranked 13th, dropped a match to go 4-1 and have dropped all the way down to 20. A team that dropped out is Purdue, who was ranked 17th last week, and they were the number one vote getter in also receiving votes and appearing on two or more ballots. And that's Purdue, and they got 67 votes and were just shy of getting in the top 25.
So you're looking at five teams in the top 25 from the Big Ten, and you got one on the outside.
26th, Purdue.
Basically. Yep. So once again, we talked about this last year. You're definitely going to see Penn State at the top. They were all last year right at the top. But you're going to see some prowess from this Big Ten volleyball teams throughout the year. They're going to cause some troubles for those ranked nationally. Also on the women's volleyball realm, they will also be on the Big Ten Network. They'll appear three times this fall. The home match against Minnesota later this month, September 26th, that'll be broadcast live, along with road matches at Minnesota, October 31st, and at Michigan on November 5th.
But I tell you what, Minnesota has a great facility. I said that last year after I came back from my trip, and they have a fantastic facility up there, as does Wisconsin.
Now, is it necessarily the greatest facility, or is it just because it's geared specifically towards volleyball?
No, it is.
Okay.
Fantastic facility for both Minnesota and Wisconsin. I mean, it's an added plus that it's geared just for volleyball, but fantastic arena and venue nonetheless. Definitely up in Minnesota, considering that everything is in one big, huge arena. We're talking about pool for swimming, volleyball arena, basketball arena, hockey rink, all in the same complex. A fantastic setup for the Golden Gophers, and definitely getting my vote for
we'll have to wait
best facility in the Big Ten.
You'll have to wait until you see all of them, wouldn't you, until the vote for those?
See,
I think so. Have you seen Have you seen Penn State's facilities? Have you seen Ohio State's facilities?
It doesn't matter. I'm putting it down right now.
Oh, okay. So you're just going to skip those?
Yeah.
Indiana, have you seen their facilities?
I don't need to see Indiana's facilities. Because Indiana's
Michigan
last
State.
In the Big Ten, so I don't need
Michigan
to see their
State?
Facilities.
Michigan State. Haven't seen theirs.
No.
Michigan.
No, I haven't.
The list goes on. Regardless, the volleyball squad looks to improve their record. I look for them to get two wins this weekend, at least two wins. We got to beat Drake, and we got to get one victory against those two tough teams in Iowa State and BYU. All right. So, where do we go from here, Will? What do we got next?
Soccer. We got soccer next.
The ladies of soccer.
Yeah. And they competed in DeKalb last weekend against Navy and NIU in the NIU tournament. That's Northern Illinois. I'll say this. The first game against Northern Illinois on September 2nd. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Excuse me. August 31st pitted Iowa versus Navy. And Navy is a team who is coming off, I believe, a 21-3 or 21-2 season with a couple of ties in there as well. A team that is fantastic. Women's soccer, and they get nothing but a tie from the Hawks.
Yeah, they'll take nothing and like it.
Yeah.
Is what the Iowa ladies say.
1-1.
And a 2-overtime draw.
Yes.
The second, that was the opening game for them on the
year?
Yes. And they also tied their exhibition match against Western Illinois. So they tie the exhibition, and then they open the season with a tie. A draw, if you will, against Navy.
Yeah, and then they play Northern Illinois and draw them, too.
Double overtime draw.
Yeah. So zeros. So,
yeah,
across
zeros.
The board.
Lots of zeros. The noodle loads of freshmen have logged plenty of minutes, and we see no scoring as of yet. In that game, in the game against Northern Illinois, Lindsey Bolt was able to record 5 saves to help lead the Hawkeyes to that draw. And in the game against Navy, she records 7. So the shots were pretty even on both sides in both games. Against Navy, 12-11 in favor of Iowa, and against NIU, it was 9-4 in favor of NIU. So some quality minutes logged by the Hawkeye soccer team, and hopefully they'll get things turned around as they look ahead in their schedule to Missouri tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Iowa Soccer yep. Complex. So right over there next to the Hawkeye Hall of Fame, you got the field hockey ladies at 3 p.m., followed some short time later by the ladies of soccer at 7
p.m. Well, this is nice because this starts a 4-game homestand for the Hawks, who now will play Missouri on Friday, Iowa State Sunday on the 14th. They take on Drake, and on the 18th, they take on Northern Iowa. So, interesting 4-game homestand for the Hawks as head coach Ron Rainey is in his second season now as the head coach at the University of Iowa. He's looking to turn around his program, much like he's done in years past at Ball State, and also in the inaugural season as an assistant at Iowa, as Iowa's inaugural season of soccer. And he also was a grad assistant at Towson. So, fantastic rebuilding process he does, or at least helps out with, at every place he's gone. So we'll see what happens here, and it seems to be the second season as a catapult into storied success or years of success after that. So hopefully the second season will prove just as good for the Hawks this year, as he has a huge recruiting class, a lot of freshmen, and we'll see them probably get a lot of playing time.
Most definitely, most definitely. And the three big matches there, you're looking at in-state rivals. Iowa State, Drake, Northern Iowa, all successive games. So those will be huge. Hopefully we can rack up some wins and get that win against Iowa State to log 2 more points in the Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series.
Right. And like we talked about earlier, the 4-point swing with the Cy-Hawk series and everything with that, and it's a big weekend this weekend, as far as that's concerned.
We've been doing these Big Ten Network live game announcements, and unfortunately the women's soccer don't get as much attention as those other sports mentioned. They will be shown just one game, the game on October 28th. I believe that's at Northwestern, but it'll be shown on tape delay. Broadcast will be October 29th at 7 p.m. So, lots of action on the Big Ten Network. They've also announced some fall Olympic. These are the Olympic sports fall schedules. They're going to be showing Olympic events as far as track and field, gymnastics, etc. So lots and lots from the Big Ten Network. We mention it over and over again because we definitely want in.
Clearly, you want in a situation like that. The website is phenomenal.
Yes.
Surfing the website not only before but now during the show. And it is absolutely fantastic. And you feel like you're missing something when you are in it, when you are in not only a Big Ten city, but you are maybe an alum or a student or even a faculty member of a Big Ten school. Sometimes you want to check out these Olympic sports.
Well, and I think for me and you,
that's what we need to call them.
Olympic sports?
Yes, because that is exactly what they are.
Is rowing in the Olympics?
Yes.
Is it?
Nautica.
I don't know.
Yes.
Nautica would be sailing, I think.
Well,
regardless,
nonetheless,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point that I was going to make is one of the big reasons I want in on this is I was able to see field hockey and soccer play some matches on ESPNU, CSTV, stations of the like, and it really gets some momentum, and some national prowess for these programs that, you know, really, really deserve it. So I think it's nothing but good for the Big Ten. It's nothing but good for these Smart? What?
Well, I don't
These
know.
These sports that get overlooked far too often. So, yes, we're going to keep pounding the issue. You'll hear us talk about it each and every week until something is done about it.
Okay. Well, I feel as if we have 15 minutes to go.
We do have 15 minutes to go. Unfortunately, there is
nothing to talk about.
That's the end of Iowa athletics. We could move into the Big Ten realm, but let's be honest.
There's nothing really going on.
That's right. It was a rather dry week. This weekend's going to be action-packed. We gave you all the games coming up. Volleyball's got three matches. We got a field
hockey
and soccer.
We're going to start going to some of these, so we'll have a lot more commentary value
exactly.
on these matches.
Exactly.
It's real hard-pressed to go to these Olympic sports when they're out of the state.
That's right. And it's really hard to analyze these events just on paper.
Right.
So we do our best to bring it to you as best as we can, but we know we fail a lot of the times to give you the true outlook. We know we can't bring that to them unless we actually go to the games. It's another big reason why we go to a lot of these events is so that we can pass down the knowledge, if you will, to those who weren't able to make it.
Right. So we're going to pass down some more knowledge.
That's right.
Real quick, before we wrap things up,
we have 10 minutes to. What are we going to do in our 10 minutes?
We're gonna pass some knowledge.
Okay, let's pass some knowledge.
Let's pass some knowledge time. Friday, September 7th, the Hawkeyes, as mentioned earlier in the show, take on Louisville in a field hockey matchup at 3 o'clock p.m. in Iowa City. The softball team's hosting an alumni game at 6 p.m. at Pearl Field in Iowa City, Iowa. The women's soccer team takes on Missouri at 7. The women's volleyball team is at Drake University for the Drake Classic at 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, they're taking on Drake that first day. Then we go to Saturday, September 8th, and the volleyball continues with the Drake Classic. They take on Iowa State at 12:30. Then they move on to take on LSU at 5:30. Both those games being held in Des Moines. Women's golf will be at the Mary Fossum Invitational all day in East Lansing, Michigan, Saturday. They continue with that Sunday, as well as field hockey hosting Missouri State at 1 p.m. and women's soccer hosting Iowa State at 1 p.m. And those are real fun. If you haven't been to an event where soccer and field hockey are going on at the same time, I don't want you to think that they detract from one another because they don't. It's kind of fun to go to one half of one game and the other half of the other.
Right.
And see what's going on. Or you could just hang out in the middle and watch both. So
at the same time.
At the same time.
They're literally a sidewalk across from
each other. That's right. And if you guys haven't been to see these fields, you are missing out. The soccer field, I have heard from insider source, is without a doubt the best in the Big Ten. It is the best pitch in the Big Ten. No doubt about it.
The best pitch.
Yeah, that's what you call a soccer field. It's
okay.
Called the pitch.
Okay.
Regardless, best field. Maybe they don't have the best facilities, and they did get a little update along with that tennis complex. There is some other facilities for soccer. But as I said, the best field in the Big Ten for soccer. And then you look to Grant Field, which again is top of the line, whether you want to call it AstroTurf or artificial grass or what have you. It's a fantastic playing surface, a great place to go and see a game. So definitely recommend getting out there. You'll see both Will and I at the games this weekend. And we'll, as we said, definitely get you an update on the From the Cheap Seats Events Challenge next week, as we will definitely have a lot to bring you. Regardless, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, lots of stuff going on. Nothing between Monday and Wednesday of next week. So,
yeah,
lots of stuff all jam-packed over the weekend.
Right, so make sure you make it out to the respective fields. Plenty of home games, as Ryan mentioned, and the season really diving right into it.
Diving right in. That's kind of the reason why we have a little dry spot here. Not as much going on as the year continues. Our upcoming events sheet will continue to become more and more full, especially as we get into late October, early November.
Well, basketball starts.
As basketball begins to start and we see all those other things. So,
well, for Ryan Wallace.
No, we're going to really just end it? No, we got 10 minutes. We got to discuss something. What do you want to get off your chest? You got 10 minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Fill the air. You got nothing. I'd like to throw a little Tiger Woods 2008 out there.
Okay, why don't you throw it out there?
Wow, what a fantastic game. Do you not agree? Will has gone out and purchased
a
PS3.
Fantastic game.
PS3, I own the Wii. Will purchased Tiger Woods PGA Tour 08 for PS3, and I'm a huge fan. I'm 50s across the board now. Or maybe I've moved up to 60s on my created characters.
I am like 25, 30.
I just took down Retief Goosen.
Ryan gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's right, dude.
And plays Tiger
while
he eats.
You got to get the back nine in real early. Yes, I love the game. Will and I believe we've mentioned this already in the show. There's a new feature on this year's game.
Yeah, game face.
You can put your face. You can take a digital picture of yourself, both front view and profile, and then you can take that and insert it into the game so the character that you play with.
And the best part about it is you get to do your best jail mugshot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no smiling in your jail mugshot. So you can put your...
You're not happy you're in jail.
That's right. So you get your face on your player that you're playing with, and they as far as I can see it, it's going to do a fantastic job. Will and I wouldn't know. The system has been down for some time. We haven't really checked up on that here recently because we're just kind of letting the kinks be worked out. It was such a popular feature of this game that the Tiger Woods 08 players crashed the site.
Yes.
It was not available. Do we have an update on this?
Due to an initial overwhelming response, we have experienced issues with the EA Sports World website, which was preventing customers from uploading their photos for Photo Game Face and Tiger Woods. The good news is that we've resurfaced the Photo Game Face tool. Unfortunately, to do so, we've had to bring down the NCAA Football and Madden NFL community pages to control server usage.
That's right. We don't care about
those.
We
sincerely apologize for the inconvenience. In the meantime, please check out the Photo Game Face feature and upload your photos to Tiger Woods. Oh, wait. We will be working to have the entire...
I want to know, did you hear his excitement continue to build as he read that and realized that we can now put our faces on?
So you know what we're doing. We're going home.
That's right.
And we're uploading our game face. I believe, Ryan, that we have a bus to catch.
We have a bus to catch. It's not till 7:15. Let's give the people what they came for, a full hour of Will and Ryan on the radio.
Will and Ryan will be uploading the game face tonight.
That's right. And another great feature about...
Maybe this will be the last year. 10 minutes of the show will be profiling a video game.
Yes, okay. That requires us to profile a new video game every week. Do you have enough video games?
No.
You have two for PlayStation 3. I have a couple for Wii, but I'm not sure that people would necessarily be interested in those because they're not all sports related. Regardless, last feature I want to talk about on Tiger Woods 08 is GamerNet. Kind of a part of this game face thing is GamerNet. You can take any crazy shot you want. Let's say you tee off, you hit a tree, followed by three people, and then it goes in the hole. You can save that clip, upload it to GamerNet, and then other gamers can then challenge that clip and try and do the same thing.
Right.
Fantastic little feature. I'm sure that once Will and I both have our players up to par and we're participating in the FedEx Cup, you're going to see us also participating on GamerNet with some of those challenges.
Yeah, challenges. Maybe if they have some tournaments.
Who knows? Maybe we're going to post a challenge for the Cheap Seats listeners.
Yeah.
Never know. That could be on the realm. We'll see if that's a possibility.
So your boy Cole Peebler could possibly.
Yes. Oh, it's an open invitation. Open invitation. I'll take on all challengers.
Okay. Interesting. Ryan is taking on all challengers in Tiger Woods.
That's right.
This is
I'm ready
coming
to go.
From a person who has never stepped foot on a golf course.
That's right.
But he loves
putt-putt.
His Tiger.
I play putt-putt, baby. That's what I do. Will has nothing to say. Speechless.
Speechless about the putt-putt comments. I don't really... I don't know if I understand that, but if you just want to step foot on a putt-putt course and never step foot on a golf course, but
play Tiger Woods
at 7 in the morning,
that's right.
That's your choice.
Tiger Woods is a lot more economic for me, given that you've purchased it.
Yeah,
clearly. So all I have to do is step upstairs and play.
All you have to do is step downstairs.
Or downstairs, depending on where I am at the time. Regardless, you look at golf, and there's definitely much more of an economic commitment, if you will.
$6.
Yeah, you got to purchase clubs and all those necessary equipment, which I have none of. So, regardless, that'd be an economic commitment from me and one that I'm just not willing to make. Because what if I get out there, make that commitment, spend a whole lot of money, get some nice stuff, and then I suck?
Well, you're going to suck.
Because the general rule is you're either good at baseball or golf, and you tend to not be good at both. You're going to be real good at one or the other, or you can be average at both.
Unless you're the Atlanta Braves pitching staff of old. Yeah, but Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and John
Smoltz. I'm not talking about professionals, because a lot of baseball, well, those are pitchers, too. They suck at batting. That's my point.
Right.
So you're either good at hitting a baseball or hitting a golf ball.
Those guys weren't horrible at batting. They're not very good.
And they're probably okay because they're good at golf. Just throwing that out there. Okay. Regardless, not willing to make the economic commitment.
Fair enough.
Why don't we finish up with my discussion of the Big Four tournament in volleyball?
Yeah, okay. Fantastic idea. We're going to take these last 5 minutes. Big Four volleyball tournament.
What I would love to see is a 3-day tournament taking place in Des Moines, in the Wells Fargo Arena. We have 4 teams. If I've done my math correctly, that would be 9 games.
This is a bus stop thing.
Yeah, this is totally while we're waiting for the bus.
This morning, at a bus stop, Ryan says to me, how many games did you have to play if you played a 4-team round-robin tournament?
That's right. The wheels were turning bright and early.
Total games, all 4 teams.
All 4 teams, there's 9 games. So if that is the case, then I would propose a tournament in which you would have 2 games on Friday, an afternoon and an evening game. Then we throw out 4 games on Saturday.
Wow.
And we finish up Sunday with 3 more games. For a total of 9 games on the weekend. That allows Drake, Iowa State, UNI, and Iowa to all play each other. All of those schools, especially... You talk about UNI and Iowa State are really up and coming in the volleyball world. UNI and Iowa State had the estimate was between 4,000 and 5,000 were going to attend before the match between UNI and Iowa State.
That made the NCAA tournament.
That's right, the second round, as a matter of fact. And we did not get to see the score nor the final attendance on that game. There was more than 3,000 tickets sold in advance of that game, so I think it could draw a lot of people. The Iowa State fans wouldn't have to travel as far to get to UNI. It would be kind of a trip for Iowa and UNI.
Right.
But I think there should be an arrangement to work out. If we don't want to do it at don't want to do it in Wells Fargo, why not have it be a traveling tournament? Wells Fargo, we go to Iowa City, we go to Cedar Falls, we just rotate.
Here's what happens. You set it at Wells Fargo. Everybody splits the revenue for the first year. Whoever wins the event, the tournament's held at their place. And if they win it again, you get not only do you get revenue, but you get bragging rights.
No, I think you have to continue to split the revenue. It would never work. As we all know, when it all comes down to it, it's still all about the money. So I think they'd have to split the revenue regardless. But I do like the idea of whoever you're going to have to work something out. What if everybody goes 2-2? We just throw it back at Wells Fargo, which is technically hosted by Drake.
No, because then you throw it into this. Everybody goes 2-2. To claim a champion, you play 3 sudden death matches.
No, dude, you can't do that.
Yes.
9 games in 1 weekend is tons. You'd have to have some tiebreaker on who won the most games.
But that's 3 games for a team. No, that's 3 matches for a team.
No, I don't think they'd do that. This is not possible. Regardless, I like the idea of taking it to the winning program site. I like that a lot. I think they're still going to have to split the revenue. Regardless, I'd love to see this. I'd love to see a similar event in basketball. I think it's much less likely in basketball because there's much more revenue, and thus they're going to fight about it more. Regardless, something to ponder. Gary Barta, if you're out there listening, we'd love to get you in the studio. He's probably not listening, but we need to get you in the studio. We need
Someone
to talk
from
about
sports. from someone from the sports staff is listening.
If you're out there at all and you're associated with the athletic department in any way, shape, or form, we'd like to get you in here. Even if you're a promotional person, we'd like to get you in here. We'd like to sit down and talk to you and hear your opinion. It would have been great if we had someone to interview today, clearly, since we had 20 minutes to talk about nothing but
Tiger Woods. Well, Ryan and I learned a valuable lesson today. This stuff should have gone before the Tiger Woods discussion.
Yeah, clearly. We could have talked about this a lot longer. But
next week, we will be back.
That's right.
With much better discussion, a lot more sports, a lot more things to talk about. For Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchioneau. From the Cheap Seats is only heard exclusively on 89.7 KRUI.